πρώτο πρόγραμμα. Γεια σας. Δεν είναι η πρώτη φορά που αυτό το πρόγραμμα στα 50 χρόνια θα ασχοληθεί με την κλασική μουσική. Σήμερα θα μπορούσα να κάνω ένα αφιέρωμα στην Άνοιξη με τραγούδια γνωστά. Ένα θα είναι όμως. Μόνο ένα. Σήμερα λοιπόν θα έχετε την ευκαιρία να ακούσετε ένα έργο που ανέβηκε στο θέατρο, σε ένα θέατρο στη Γαλλία, στο Παρίσι, πριν από 112 χρόνια, την Άνοιξη του 1913, συγκεκριμένα το Μάιο. Ήταν η πρεμιέρα τότε ενός καινούριου μπαλέτου, μόλις 29 ετών, ο Ρώσος συνθέτης Ιγκόρ Στραβίνσκι. Η ιεροτελεστία της Άνοιξης. Μυθικά ονόματα. Ήταν τα ρωσικά μπαλέτα του Νταγκίλεφ με χορογραφία του Νιζίσκι. Ξέσπασε ένα μεγάλο σκάνδαλο στην πρεμιέρα της μουσικής αυτής παράστασης, του έργου. Περιγράφουν αυτοί που ήταν εκεί και όσοι έχουν ζήσει την εποχή εκείνη, ότι ακόμα έπεσε και ξύλο μεταξύ των θεατών, που άλλοι υπεράσπιζαν την παρουσίαση αυτή του έργου, που ήταν κάτι πρωτόγνωρο για την κλασική μουσική, και άλλοι δεν μπορούσαν να ακούσουν αυτό που άκουγαν για πρώτη φορά. Λοιπόν, σήμερα θα ακούσετε ακριβώς αυτό, καθώς μπήκαμε και στην Άνοιξη, η ιεροτελεστία της Άνοιξης. Το έργο αυτό απογειώθηκε 26 χρόνια μετά στην ταινία «Φαντασία». Όσοι δεν έχουν δει τη «Φαντασία» θα πρέπει να την δουν, και εκεί από αυτήν την ερμηνεία έχω διαλέξει για να ακούσουμε. Ήταν ο γνωστός διευθυντής ορχήστρας της Cincinnati Orchestra και της Φιλαδέλφια Ορκέστρα, Λίοπολντ Στοκόφσκι. Η ιεροτελεστία της Άνοιξης. Τα περισσότερα θα τα πούμε μετά. Να πω μόνο γρήγορα ότι προσέξτε πόσα συγκροτήματα του progressive και του heavy metal έχουν επηρεαστεί από αυτούς τους ήχους που θα ακούσετε. Μηνύματα θα παίρνουμε στο Viber με παρατηρήσεις, σχόλια και επισημάνσεις με λατινικούς χαρακτήρες, πρώτο πρόγραμμα, και SMS 54160 πρώτο. Να πούμε τώρα μερικά πράγματα. Αρχικά, στρατιές συνθετών κινηματογραφικής μουσικής βασίστηκαν στην κλασική μουσική. Αυτό είναι απόλυτο. Ίσως όμως πολλοί δεν γνωρίζουν ότι ο Στραβίνσκι, αλλά και γενικότερα η κλασική μουσική, έχει παίξει μεγάλο ρόλο όχι μόνο σε αυτό που λέμε progressive, αλλά και στο rock γενικότερα. Και ιδιαίτερα στο heavy metal. Έχουμε Deep Purple, Rainbow, που έχουν εμπνευστεί από τον Bach. Είτε άλλα progressive συγκροτήματα, Yes, Genesis, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, δανείζονται μουσική από Brahms και διάφορους άλλους. Όμως η σύνδεση της κλασικής μουσικής και ιδιαίτερα του Στραβίνσκι, που θεωρείται ο πιο rock and roll συνθέτης μεταξύ όλων, άνοιξε νέο δρόμο στη μουσική με αυτά τα πράγματα στην αρχή του περασμένου αιώνα. Θα ψάξετε να βρείτε συγκροτήματα που τα ίδια μέλη τους το έχουν πει σε συνεντεύξεις, αλλά και αυτοί που τα αναλύουν, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, ακόμα και Pantera και δεκάδες άλλα συγκροτήματα. Αυτά για τον Στραβίνσκι και την κλασική μουσική, αλλά ο Στραβίνσκι έχει και άλλο ένα έργο τώρα που θα μας απασχολεί στο δεύτερο μέρος. Αλλά ποιος θα είναι αυτός που το ηχογράφησε ένα αιώνα μετά και κυκλοφόρησε σε δίσκο το 2014 ή το 18, το 18 νομίζω κυκλοφόρησε. Ναι, το 2018 άρχισε να ηχογραφεί από το 2014. Ένας από τους μεγαλύτερους μουσικούς που παρακολουθούμε τα τελευταία 50 χρόνια, ο Roger Waters, κορυφαίος, πρωτοπόρος, ανήσυχος και στα πολιτικά, ηχογράφησε το παραμύθι του στρατιώτη, του Ιγκόρ Στραβίνσκι. Αυτό το έγραψε ο Στραβίνσκι πριν από ένα αιώνα, το 1918. Είναι ένα ωραίο θεατρικό έργο που διαβάζεται, παίζεται και χορεύεται από τρεις τοπίους και έναν ή περισσότερους χορευτές. Αυτή η ιστορία που θα ακούσετε με αφηγητή τον Roger Waters, ο Roger Waters υποδύεται όλους τους χαρακτήρες του έργου. Η μουσική είναι του Στραβίνσκι και το λιμπρέτο ενός ελβετού συγγραφέα του Ράμους. Ο Ράμους λοιπόν αφηγείται την ιστορία ενός στρατιώτη που ανταλλάσσει το βιολί του με τον διάβολο. Μήπως μας θυμίζει μια ιστορία λίγο αργότερα που έχει σχέση με τα blues, με αντάλλαγμα ένα τεράστιο οικονομικό κέρδος μέσω τριών ηθοποιών. Ξεκινάμε λοιπόν την ηχογράφηση του Roger Waters στο παραμύθι του στρατιώτη.
Down a hot and dusty track comes a soldier with a pack. Ten days leave he has to spend. Will his journey never end? Thank you. marching home, marching on his way. Slugging homeward every day. But soon, soon, very soon, he will be home to stay. The soldier is tired, in need of a rest, so he throws down his pack at the side of the lane and proceeds to do what a soldier does best. He starts to complain. Bloody army, I've had it up to here. I must have been mad to sign on for 10 year. Don't get me started. I might never stop. Any road, this here's not a bad spot. He sits down at the side of the road, opens his pack and grumbles on. All is on the bloody go, broke, more or less. By heck, but my kit's in hell of a mess. Where's my St. Joseph? He plumbs the depths of his pack in search of a lucky medallion he has, with the face of his namesake, St. Joseph, neatly engraved on the back. Ha ha, good, here we are. He carries on rummaging in his bag, pulls out cartridges, box of matches. He rummages on. A mirror with most of the silvering gone. Now where's her picture? That would be missed. The picture she gave me, my girlfriend, that is, that she gave me the day I went off to enlist. He finds her picture at last, and then, hey diddle diddle, from right in the middle, the soldier pulls out an old brown fiddle. Ah, it didn't cost much, the tone is not rich. And you have to keep screwing it back up to pitch. Hold on. But once in tune, by God, listen. Well, judge for yourself. Just sit back and listen.
Thank you.
As you can hear, the soldier plays very well. Even out here in the back of beyond, he has attracted an audience. A little old man who carries a butterfly net. A little old man, dear friends, who is, in fact, the devil. The devil stops to listen for a while. He is intrigued. He quietly approaches the soldier and touches his arm. The soldier, startled, springs back in alarm. "Bye! Oh, you gave me a fright. Apologies. Excuse me. Could you by any chance be persuaded to give me your fiddle?" "What? Don't be daft. Why would I? No way. Ah, very well then, I'll buy it. What if I pay?" "Hey, I don't think so. No. What can I say? This fiddle of mine is just not for sale." The devil puts down his butterfly net and holds out a book. A book bound in red, somewhat tattered and torn, a book he's been carrying under his arm. "I'll give you this book for it." "No, I can't bloody read." "Makes no difference with this book. There's really no need. It's more than a book. It's wealth untold. You've only to open it, and lo and behold, banknotes, bearer bonds, and gold." "Gold? Well, I suppose I could just have a look." "Certainly. Be my guest. Here, take the book." The soldier takes the book and looks at the first page. Arbitrage, collateral, promissory notes, going long, going short, numbers and quotes. I can read it all right, but it's all Greek to me. Ah, you'll get the hang of it, just wait and see. All right, but look, if it's worth all that money, this magic book, well, this fiddle of mine, this little job, I have to admit, only cost a few bob. So, it's a bargain, you could say a steal. All right, then. Okay, that's a done deal. The exchange made, the soldier pores over his new acquisition. On sight, collateral, note of hand, sell and buy. Market quotes for Friday 31st of July, but today's only Tuesday, July 28th. By gum, this here book is ahead of the date. If I'm not mistook, this book can divine things before they actually happen in time. The soldier scratches his head as the potential significance of precognition sinks in. Meanwhile, the devil has been scraping away at the violin, but producing only, I'm afraid to say, a series of hideous squeaks and howls. "Hey, please, please, come back to my place. What do you say? Why, what's up? What's up? Well, this damn fiddle won't play. Please, come back and teach me. I'm just a little bit slow." "I'd like to, but I've only 10 days leave to go home. What if I lend you my carriage and pair? On foot you'll take 10 days just to get there." My mother will worry so if I'm late."
"Come, come. One day? One day she can't wait."
"Yeah, but my girlfriend's expecting me too. Trust me, you'll make it up to her soon." "This place of yours, is it far away?" "Not far. 2, maybe 3 days out of your way." "You'll be wined and dined, all found, full bed and board. Then I'll take you home in my carriage, just like a lord. Come on now. Come on. What do you say? You'll get home sooner, by maybe 2 days, and you'll be rich, rich as the king of Cathay." "What sort of food do you serve? Did you say?"
"I didn't. But it's steak, the finest fillet, with fried potatoes and onions 3 times a day.
"And to drink?"
"Why, Bordeaux, Bourgogne, Sauterne or Champagne, from the best French chateau, the finest domains."
"Is smoking allowed?"
"Allowed? Allowed, my dear chap? We have only the finest Cuban cigars. Meerschaum pipes, originally made for the Tsars. We have Sobrani Black Russian, and perhaps more exotic by far. I believe we may still have an Egyptian hookah.
Well, it's the same old story. Always the same. We fall for it over and over again. Something for nothing, that same old trick. Anyway, Joseph goes home with old Nick. And true to his word, the old boy doesn't cheat. New clothes, a soft bed, and plenty to eat. And each shows the other as they undertook the way of the fiddle and the way of the book. Yes, the old fellow kept to his word. 2 days well spent, and then on the third, the old man wakes Joseph as soon as it's light, and he asks, "Did you sleep well? Did you have a good night?" "I did sleep well. I slept very well, yes." And the devil looks on as Joe gets up to dress. "Have you any complaints?" Joseph says, "No." "Right you are," says old Nick. "Are you ready to go?" And just as promised, already there, below in the courtyard at the foot of the stair, is an uncommonly elegant carriage and pair. And the devil cries, "Get up!" and cracks his whip. And then off they go at a jolly good lick, Joe nervously watching the thundering feet, holding on with both hands to the edge of his seat. In fact, gripping the edges with all his might, gripping so hard that his knuckles turn white. "Hold on! Hold on tight!" cries the little old man. "I'm holding on just as hard as I can." He'd like to jump out, but he hasn't a chance. "Just look at my thoroughbreds. See how they prance. Hold on, young man. Hold on tight. Good grief, I think they're about to take flight." And so, with one final almighty effort, the team lunges forward into the traces. The carriage suddenly takes to the sky and the devil cries out, "No, we're off to the races!" Rattling and rolling from side to side, Joseph is certain he's going to die. His hair stands on end, his eyes are on stalks. He's beginning to wish he'd decided to walk. His head is swimming. He's close to a faint. The devil is laughing. "Have you any complaints?" Faster and faster and faster they soar, over patchworks of fields and steeples and woods and rivers and valleys and copses and hills, when suddenly, time stands still. The mirage fades like mist on a moor, and then everything is just as it all was before. Down a hot and dusty track comes a soldier with a pack. Days leave he has to spend. Will his journey never end? Marching home, marching on his way. Slugging homeward every day, but soon he will be home to stay. Eventually, Joseph reaches his home village. Home at last, hooray. Look over there, there's Mrs. Gray.
"Hello, hello, I say. Hello there, Mrs. Gray."
"That's strange. She doesn't hear me, poor old cow. She must be hard of hearing now. There's Arthur, a good old friend of mine and true, mowing the 5-acre meadow, just like he always used to do. Arthur! Arthur!"
What's the matter? Why does he not reply? It's Joseph, your old mate, Joe the soldier. Well, I'll be damned. The bugger just walked by. Now here's the church with its tower and bell. Hey, everyone, it's me. Come on. You all know me well. Here's the mill, the inn, folk everywhere. Men, women and children. But they all just stand and stare. Now they're rushing inside. Doors slamming shut. Bolts being thrown, curtains drawn. What the hell's up? I'll go find me mum. She'll know what's what. There she is. Hey, mother. What's up with everyone? Hey, mother. It's me. It's Joseph, your son. But his mother just stares. Then she screams and turns and runs away. Joseph can't believe it. He is appalled, struck dumb. Then across the road, he sees his fiancée. Running towards her, he starts to call out. Then he stops. She's married with two children. Finally, the penny drops.
That dirty, rotten cheat. I've rumbled him at last. It wasn't 3 bloody days. 3 bloody years have passed. Now they all take me for a ghost. A spectre, dead, bygone. A corpse among the living. No longer friend or son. That cheat, that dirty, rotten cheat. What a fool I've been. Well, all right, I was tired and hungry, but to listen to the likes of him, I should have had suspicions. I should have known he was on the diddle. But like a fool, I let him talk me out of my old fiddle. I'm done. I'm fucked, excuse my French. But I gave up me old life. Me mother, me friends, me village, and of course me future wife. What a bloody dunce I've been. Look, nothing but closed doors. Bye, if I could lay my hands on him, I'd give that cheat what for.
Εδώ είμαστε ήδη στη μέση του έργου. Όπως σας είπα, δεν είναι μόνο αφηγητής ο Ρότζερ Ουότερς. Υποδύεται όλους τους χαρακτήρες. Και τον στρατιώτη και τον διάβολο και όλα τα άλλα που υπάρχουν στο παραμύθι του στρατιώτη του Ιγκόρ Στραβίνσκι. Το έργο αυτό ο Ρότζερ Ουότερς το ηχογράφησε με μέλη του Φεστιβάλ Μουσικής Δωματίου του Bridgehampton. Άλλα σχόλια βέβαια μπορείτε να κάνετε για την εκπομπή της σημερινή αλλά και τις υπόλοιπες και στο Facebook Γιάννης Πετρίδης και στο Instagram, email ή X από τις 4 στις 5. Θα σας αφήσω με Roger Waters και Stravinsky. Ήταν ένα ιδιαίτερο πρόγραμμα σήμερα που ξεκίνησε με την ιεροτελεστία της Άνοιξης. Καλό Σαββατοκύριακο, θα τα πούμε τη Δευτέρα εδώ στο Πρώτο. Ο Θάνος Γυμέκας σύνδερος στον ήχο, δίπλα μου ο Δημήτρης Γιουγουρής.
The soldier, disconsolate, depressed, has left the village of his birth and wanders aimlessly about the countryside. No longer feeling a connection with the earth, severed from his roots like liquid on a hill, he takes the path of least resistance. No hope, no plan, until one day by chance he stumbles upon the very man, the cause of all his trouble, the bane of his whole life, is right there at the roadside, nonchalantly leaning on a cane. The soldier draws his bayonet and rushes to attack. The devil, quite unmoved, implacable, stands his ground and just stares back. "Aha! You dirty cheat. It's you. Defend yourself, you swine. I'll teach you not to come between me and what is mine." He raises his bayonet to strike, but his arm is magically stayed, and the devil, unblinking, unconcerned, makes no move at all to get out of the way. "So, it's me, okay, so come on. Why don't you attack?" Our hero, impotent, bemused, crestfallen, falls back. His resolve is in tatters, he's quite at a loss. All power is gone from his loins, but gathering his last shreds of resolve, he straightens his back to achieve his full height and rather feebly rejoins, "You filthy, dirty, rotten cheat." The devil condescendingly replies, "Come, come, be a little more discreet. You must learn how to behave. Have you forgotten all I said in the book I gave you bound in red?" "Bugger the book and bugger you. I'd like to see you dead. I don't care about your bloody book or what you bloody said." "Yes, yes. But if you've got it still, then you've got all you need. Stop snivelling, for God's sake, man. Come on now, show some steel. Aren't you a soldier? Be one then. Come on, show the ladies and gentlemen attention. That's it, on guard. Jolly good. Put up that silly thing. Now, break ranks and stow your kit. Good, good. That's it. Now then, platoon, fall in. At ease. Stand easy. Attention. Platoon, off caps." "No cap,